You know, I brought this story up once again because this is what drew me and the kahuna together. This story is really the story of my connection with a man who lives in the future. And I would discover, largely through having repetitive connections with this guy, that this guy appears to be one of my descendants. To be precise, he's probably one of my descendant selves. Mm. And this, through this whole dreamlike, visionary experience into a completely new frame of reference for me. If he was the descendant and I was the ancestor, it was like an ancestor-descendant relationship. And this is what the kahuna knew a great deal about. He was very much involved with his ancestors. So in 1996, I was invited to speak at an institute here in on the Big Island of Hawaii. And on the day that I went to talk, you know, I was a little bit nervous about it because about 50 people showed up to hear what I had to say about the transformational community and visions, and they had read Spirit Walker, and they all wanted to have a look at me to see what I was like. And I was just about to begin my talk, and the door opened, and in walked this big Hawaiian man who was about half a head taller than I am. Now, I'm 6'1", which means he was about 6'4" or 6'5". And he outweighed me easily by 100 pounds or more. He had a big white ponytail down his back and a great big bushy beard down his chest. He was wearing a flashy aloha shirt, and he was carrying this absolutely magnificently carved walking stick. Now, my hosts introduced me to this man, Hale Makua. And I'd heard about this guy for years. You know, he was the Kohona Nui. He was, you know, because of his genealogy, because of his ancestors, everybody knew him. He was, you know, when he got off the plane in Tahiti or New Zealand or Easter Island, Rapa Nui, you know, he'd be mobbed at the airport by people who wanted to touch him, who wanted to talk to him, who wanted to take him home and feed him.
He was a holy man, wasn't he?
He was very, very well known. And so in some ways, he was kind of like the Dalai Lama of Polynesia. Now, here in Hawaii, he kept a very low profile because he was a very humble man. And so in Hawaii, there weren't that many people who actually knew who Makua was. And I call him Makua because that's what people generally called him. But I'd heard about him for years. Now, you know, he was the real thing. And you just don't pick up the phone and, you know, find him in the phone book, because in those days, he didn't talk on the phone. He was, you know, a spiritual elder.
Right.
And so he'd come in because a friend of mine had sent him my book. And he wanted to have a look at me, I think, to see if I was real. And so he came and was very gracious, and he gave me a beautiful lei, and he put a lei around my wife's neck as well. And then he listened to the talk that I gave for about an hour and a half to this people who'd come to hear what I had to say. And at those times, I was talking about the transformational community. I was very interested about us, and that includes all the people in your coast-to-coast community,
mm-hmm.
people who were involved in, you know, the ending of this cycle and the beginning of the next, and people who have essentially woken up. So I talked about the beliefs and values and trends that we all hold dear in a kind of an academic way, I suppose. And at the end, I got this sort of nagging feeling that there was something that this man Makua wanted to say. So I turned to him and I said, "Elder Makua, you know, I don't know what the correct protocol is, but I'm getting this feeling that there is something that you've come to say, and would it be correct for me to ask you to speak?" Well, you know, this was a man, I would learn, who traveled in the company of his ancestral spirits. He had a whole cluster of ancestors who were constantly following him around, advising him, talking to him, and so forth and so on. So, you know, he looked at me, and then he sort of leaned to his left as though somebody was talking in his left ear. Then he kind of leaned to the right as though somebody was talking in his right ear. And then he smiled at me and stood up. Now, he looked at me across the room, and he said, "A friend of mine sent me your book, Spirit Walker, and I read it." Silence in the room. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop. This was like high noon in Polynesia. This was the moment of truth. He said, "I read your book again just to make sure I got it right. And then I went down to the beach and I took your book and put it down on the sand and I called in the ancestors and we had a talk about you. You know, silence in the room.
And you're waiting. Oh, no, here it comes,
well,
right?
Well, you know, I was preparing myself to be condemned because, yeah. You know, as you know, indigenous people don't like it when outsiders trespass into their spiritual traditions.
No, not at all.
And the Spirit Walker books have a lot of kahuna knowledge in them. So, you know, I was waiting, and he looked at me and said, the ancestors asked me what your name is. And so I told them, your name is Wesselman, Hank Wesselman. And he smiled, and he said, ancestors told me I wasn't pronouncing your name right. They said your name is actually Wesselman.
Wesselman, yeah.
That you're a vessel, like the canoe. And I'm slowly going into shock because, you know, as I said, you know, I was preparing myself. And what I didn't know is that Makua was psychic. He was very, very clairvoyant. And so he's reading like a book. This is all going through his mind.
How old would you say he was at that time?
He was then 58 years old. And okay. I was 55.
All right.
So we were both elders in that sense, or approaching elderhood, although he looked like he was a generation older than myself. So he looked at me and he said, listen, the ancestors have told me to say to you that everything you wrote in your book is true, and we Hawaiians have to support you. Keep spreading the word. You're making my job easy.
That's amazing.
Well, you know, people were you know, people were crying because this was such an emotionally moving experience. And so he walked up to me and he said, we should have a meeting before you leave the island. Now, when the big kahuna, and this guy was the big kahuna.
That's what it meant.
Kahuna would come to hear me talk. This was the big kahuna. You know, when he says you're going to have a meeting, you're going to have a meeting. And so 3 days later, on the last day of the year in 1996, we had a meeting at his office, which was right on the edge of the volcano crater Kilauea in Volcano National Park. This was really quite something. He shows up in a pickup truck, and my wife and I join him, and he takes us to a place right at the edge of the crater that he calls his office, where there's a little picnic shelter that's been put up for the tourists to have lunch. There's this very, very dramatic overlook that overlooks Halemaumau, the great crater in the center, which is currently erupting right now.
Yeah.
And first he takes my wife to the women's place of power, where women make medicine. And he chanted in Hawaiian and left her sitting with her legs dangling right over the edge of the crater, 500 feet straight down into this bottomless crevasse.
Was she scared? Or did she feel this awe?
Awe. This is a place that just, you know, almost silences you. It's so powerful.